21, Acts chapter 21. Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. This story tonight is interesting, but it's also informative. It's also educational. It teaches us some things. Now, you need to go back with me real quick and look in Acts chapter 19, now that your finger is in chapter 21. In chapter 19, in verse 21 of chapter 19, at the end of the verse, Paul says, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." He knows God has shown him that Rome is his destination. Now, it's hard to, you probably have a map in your Bible, and I love to study the Bible geography and the names of all these places. We won't look at all these names, these locations tonight, but I will mention Achaia, and Macedonia is northern Greece, and Achaia is very near Corinth, and Corinth is about 60 miles south, maybe west, southwest of Athens, and Achaia is just a little bit further to the east than that. So that's on the Greek peninsula there. And then as you go across, you come to Turkey. And we know of Turkey as the land today. That's not what they called it back then. And then if you think of the Mediterranean Sea as a big long, or eggplant maybe, and just kind of a long oval, and Turkey, and as you keep going east, 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 and you follow the coastline, eventually the coastline turns south, and you come across what we now call Lebanon, and you come to a place called Tyre, which is right there in Lebanon, and then you come on further south to Joppa, and then ultimately down to Jerusalem. It's a little inland in Jerusalem, but pretty close. So that's the journey Paul's taking. But wait a minute. That's the wrong direction. If you're going to see Rome and you're in Greece, you go west. Paul's heading east. And he's in God's will, and continually he is warned as he travels, you're going to be bound, you're going to be bound, you're going to be bound, you're going to lose control. Some other folks are going to arrest you, is the word we'll use. But Paul is not dissuaded. He has decided he's going to go to Jerusalem. Listen to me, folks. Paul had a burden for the Jews. He wanted the Israelites to be saved. And he said, my heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. At one point he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but that he would be willing to forfeit his place in heaven if the Jews could be saved. That's an amazing thing to say. I couldn't say that. But he's headed east. He's headed east. He's in a ship. And so at the end of verse 20, end of chapter 20, he has met with the Ephesian elders in this place called Miletus, which is a little way south of Ephesus on the southwest corner of Turkey. And now he's going to head east along the coastline. And he met with them up through verse 38 of chapter 20. Now we're in chapter 21. Let me begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them," so he's leaving Miletus, leaving the Ephesian elders, "and had launched," so they're in a ship, "we came with a straight course unto Cus," it's a little way south of Miletus, "and the day following unto Rhodes," that's on an island a little further south, "and from thence to Patara, and finding a ship," so they've changed ships now, "sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus," which is an island there in the Mediterranean, "we left it on the left-hand side," so they're kind of out in the middle of the Mediterranean now, "and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre." Tyre is a little ways north of Israel. "From there the ship was to unlade her burden, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. The disciples said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." That's interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. "And when he had accomplished those days," "we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, saluted the brethren, abode with them one day. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, and when he says we, that's Luke, by the way, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And isn't that the truth? Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening that we have this example, perhaps, of what it's like to work for you and to be moved from place to place, and how you might sometimes guide us, and it might sometimes be clear guidance, and sometimes it might be we just have to trust and wait to see what you're going to do next. But just like Paul, we have promises. He knew he would be in Rome ultimately, and we have promises. We have things you've promised us that we can be sure of, and so he's not really thinking he's going to die at Jerusalem. He's thinking he's going to be sent to Rome, and that's where he needs to go. But Lord, I pray tonight that as we open this, that we'd see some things perhaps that might guide us, help us to learn a little more about how to find your will, about how to trust you. And Lord, thank you that we can trust you, even when things are uncertain, and it seems like there's a lot of that here in this passage. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we go. Paul is traveling. This is the end of his third missionary journey. In fact, it's the end of his last missionary journey. And think of all he's accomplished. He started churches throughout the region, and he's written letters, and he's going to write some more. But he is on his way to Jerusalem, planning to keep a feast there, hoping one more time maybe he can reach those folks and maybe they would hear the gospel and get saved. Because he knew what we know. Without Christ, there is no salvation. You can have all the religion you want, but without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. And aren't you glad you have Christ? So he's on the way to Jerusalem, and he's been told over and over that he's going to be bound. And the Holy Spirit has never so much, I guess, never has precisely said, don't go. He's just told him what to expect when he gets there. He and Luke and some other people are traveling together. They're changing ships, and they're going here, and they're going there. And the journey is kind of interesting to see. If you begin in chapter 21 and verse 1, he's up there by Miletus on the southwest coast of Turkey. And by the time he gets down in verse, 8, he's in Caesarea. There's a bunch of those, by the way. If you look at the name of the city, Caesarea, on the map, you'll be, oh, there's one, and there's one. But the one he's talking about here is a little ways north of Jerusalem. You drive out of Jerusalem today, you first of all, you come down towards the Mediterranean Sea, and you're going down because Jerusalem's up higher, and you go down towards Joppa is up north. I can't think of the name of the city right now. We'll in a minute. But anyway, you're heading towards the coast, and you turn north, and Caesarea is on the coast. There's a Colosseum there. If you ever go to Israel, they'll probably take you there and show you that place. It's really beautiful. It's right there on the seaside, not too far from Jerusalem. That's where he's headed. So he's going to go there and then from there go inland. But that's the journey right there in this passage. And let's look at that journey and think about it this way. God did not give him, and he doesn't give us, a map that says you're going to go from here to here to here to here to here. But doesn't God lead us and guide us? And again, Paul knows his ultimate destination is Rome. And what's funny to me, and we see this as we get later on in Acts, what's funny to me is the Roman government's going to pay his way. They're going to arrest him. They're going to put him on a ship. And there's going to be some exciting times on that journey. And we're going to see that. That's a very informative part of the end of the book of Acts. But today he's going over to Jerusalem to try to win the Jews. His desire is that they would be saved. And so what was the journey like? What's our journey like? Here you are today, November of 2022, and you finished a lot of your journey. So some of this will be experience for you rather than something to look forward to. But the younger folks here today might think about it a little more. They haven't had quite as much journeying as those of us that are older. So here's some things about the journey. First of all, in our walk with God, in our journey for the Lord, in our steps that we take from here to the end of our life, there will be some cloudy decisions. There will be some cloudy decisions. Now, does the Lord protect our decisions? Amen? Let's look at this just a little bit. Cloudy decisions. In verse 2, finding a ship. And I can see them now. They're down there on the water perhaps. Hey, where are you guys going? Can we go with you? Hey, where are you guys going? Can we go with you? And I don't think it was the first ship. It doesn't sound like it was that easy, but maybe it was. But God knew what ship they were going to take. They just didn't know, did they? God knows what ship we're going to take. We just don't know. You realize we're coming up to the end of the year here in about a month and a half, a little more, or 2 months. And when you enter into 2023 is next, isn't that right? You think, what's 2023 going to hold? I have no idea. I do have some ideas of some things that will happen at the beginning of 2023 and some challenges that we face as a church. And I think to myself, how is God going to deal with that? I have no idea. But I know He will. And so the fact that it's a cloudy decision, in other words, what I mean by that is things aren't always perfectly clear. Sometimes they're crystal clear, but sometimes they're not clear at all. It's what to do next and which decision, which way to go, left or right, this church or that church, this situation or that situation. Sometimes it's cloudy. Not in God's eyes. We just need to trust the Lord. So, for example, in verse 2, they find a ship. In verse 4, finding disciples. Now, they are in Tyre. Tyre is on the far eastern end of the Mediterranean, north of Israel. We hear the term Tyre and Sidon. Jesus went up there in that area one time. It says, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. And just a couple of thoughts there. First of all, they didn't know where they were going to stay. They didn't know who was going to provide for them. But once again, God did. Folks, God's got disciples all over the place, even in Baghdad. I told you this story of meeting the fellow in the airport in Japan and looking at him and thinking, that guy's got to be a pastor. And sure enough, he was. And it turned out he was living in Virginia, not far from where we were, and was on his way to the Philippines. And isn't it fun to meet other Christians in unusual places? We were on a vacation in Barbados. I told you that story where the cab driver picked us up in Barbados, and he says, where are y'all from? And we said, we're from Utah. And he's thinking, Mormons, got to be Mormons, right? Taking us to the motel. It was quite a long trip, about half an hour. And we're driving along, and I'm listening to him, and he's setting us up. He's going to witness to us. He's a Christian. And I can see it coming, and I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, this is going to be fun. And finally, he says something, and I said, you know what? We attend an independent Baptist church in Salt Lake City, Utah. Oh, he was so happy. Hey, that is so exciting. And I said, we're born again Christians. You are too, aren't you? Yeah. And we got to talking, and the next day he picked us up, and I told you about he took us to a little church, and the little church was right across the road from the ocean. The little church wasn't even half the size of our auditorium. The whole building was probably less than half the size of our auditorium, and altar that was in the front, and just like you'd expect in an aisle. And I'm looking in the church doors, looking in the glass, looking at the auditorium, and I asked the fellow, where's the baptistry? That was really a stupid question. He says, turn around. Ocean. That's the baptistry you never have to fill. Temperature's always good. It's Barbados especially. And we went and visited another church that Wednesday night. And that fellow, I can still remember what he preached. He preached a long time. We were there. It was a 2.5-hour service. Sang the same songs we know, a lot of them, all 4 verses of every song. Because you see those folks in Barbados, what do they got to do except love the Lord? Amen? You're not living there to get rich and famous, and most of them are just islanders. To give you a sense of the culture, they cook on with 5-gallon propane tanks. Everywhere you look, there's a 5-gallon propane tank. That's all they have to cook with. And pretty simple folks. But they love the Lord. And when they get to come to church, they're not there, oh, let's get home and do something. No, they love being in church. And they just like to stay. And so the fellow, he preached. They had almost an hour of testimonies and prayer requests. And then they had another hour and a half of preaching. And he preached the message about, bless me indeed, from back in Kings, I believe it is, and the man that asked God to bless him. And anyway, it was just a blessing to be around to find disciples in other places. I'm sure that when we travel now, we use the internet to find a church a lot of the time. But when you go on vacation and when you travel, if you don't visit churches, you're missing a blessing. You really need to do that. You'll find when you're in another city and you visit churches, one of two things is going to happen. I've been in churches. I remember one that sticks in my mind very plainly on the Oregon coast, to where I thought, this is why I'm in the ministry, because this is not right. Because the doctrine was wrong and the procedure was wrong, and it was just not a good church. And I thought, I'm glad we have a good church. Now that was 20 years ago, no, 30 years ago. And then other times you go to churches and you think, wow, there are good churches everywhere. Not just one or two, but a whole bunch of them. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a blessing to find disciples. So you got two opportunities there. One of them is be that disciple someone finds. And the other one is when you go out, find some disciples. Paul did not know, I don't think, who these people were before he met them or about them, but he found them in verse 4. They tarried there 7 days. And then they said to Paul through the Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. So maybe I'm a little misspoken. There was some message there about Jerusalem's going to be a problem. And people have asked the question, I can't answer it. Should Paul have gone to Jerusalem? My safe answer is yes, because God used that. But even if Paul wasn't supposed to go to Jerusalem, God still used him. Amen? And he had a great burden for those people. So, cloudy decisions. Finding places or ways to get from point A to point B. Finding ships. Finding disciples. Staying a while. Looking for opportunities to continue the journey. In verse 5, it says, when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. What a beautiful scene. They're getting ready to go again. And all these people there go with Paul. Even the families go. And they all, I can just see it. They're gathered on the shore and they all kneel down. And they pray to the Lord. Lord, bless Paul's journey. Take care of him. Prosper him. Paul's blessing, pray and bless these folks that I'm leaving behind here. One of these days, we're all going to be together in heaven, amen? But until then, we need those kind of times to strengthen us and to encourage us and to be a blessing to us. So there are cloudy decisions. There should be comforting disciples. And that was really my second point, which I'm halfway into already. Look at verse 7. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, they that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. There's another one, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy, and we tarried with them more. And we came down from Judea. There came down a prophet named Agabus. Look at all these disciples and fellows that were just serving God where they were, and God brought Paul across their path. Folks, again, that's what we need to be. Those people that are there when someone needs us to pray for them, someone needs us to encourage them. And as a church, I know our missionaries are glad we're here. And we haven't had a missionary in for a while. It's one of our supported missionaries. In fact, we need to have a missions conference here coming up soon. But what happens is, as those missionaries are out there in the field, they depend on you and I to pray for them. And we don't read these missionary reports just to take up time on Sunday nights. They're very important. Pray for the Trell family this week in Baghdad. Can you imagine waking up Monday morning and you wake up and you open your eyes and you think, I'm in Baghdad. This is not the center of Christianity. This is an Islamic country, and there are people here that would like to kill me if they could. And my wife and children as well. And somehow the Lord protects him and he carries on. But don't you think he needs our prayers? And I hope someday, I haven't seen him now since, 2016 is the last time I saw him when he came through town. But when missionaries come through here, be that encouraging disciple. Be an encouragement to them. Meet their needs. Stephen Harris, our missionary to Mexico, when he was in Bullhead City, Arizona, he had a kind of an unwritten rule he would follow. And he mentioned it to me one time after I got to know him real well. He said, I never let a missionary leave here without a full tank of gas. And you'd have to fight the guy to keep him from buying you a tank of gas when you left town. And so the last, he came to town here one time, and I thought, I'm going to buy this guy a tank of gas. Now, this is before gas was $5 a gallon, but anyway, he had this vehicle that would hold, I don't know, 40 gallons of gas or whatever. And so, but that's okay. God's got the money. He'll take care of me. Amen. And be that blessing. Be that disciple that's an encouragement. There were cloudy decisions, but there were comforting disciples. And then those disciples offered counsel. You've seen that already in verse 4, the disciples that said Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem. You've seen it in verse 7, the brethren abode with him, and the next day Philip the evangelist. And then you see Agabus in verse 10, and Agabus came to us, and he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And so they're offering counsel. Where do we get our counsel? From the Lord. Now, here they are in a day when the Bible's not finished yet. The Holy Spirit is communicating with folks in some unusual ways. But we get our counsel from the Bible. And God leads us. And there's nothing wrong with us trying to be a counselor to those that need counsel. Cloudy decisions, comforting disciples. But look at this last thing. On our journey, on Paul's journey, there should be confident determination. This is important. In verse 4, they said, don't go to Jerusalem. In verse 12, he says, when he heard these things, and he's talking about Agabus there, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered in verse 13, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He would not be persuaded, it says in verse 14. He knew that's where he needed to go. I think he knew it was in God's will. And I know when he says, I'm ready to die, he kind of knew something there. He wasn't going to die because the Lord had told him, you're going to see Rome. And he hadn't seen Rome yet. What promise do you have, do I have, that I can hang on to in those times of uncertainty? That's why Paul had determination. You have a promise that you just trust the Lord with? There's a number of them that pop into my mind, but I don't want to steal yours. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like the fact that God promised to provide our needs. I like the fact that God promised that if we would do certain things, he would do certain things. Paul says, I'm not concerned about what you've told me is going to happen. He was not surprised when he was arrested in Jerusalem. He knew that was going to happen. Even though he was told he shouldn't go, even though the Holy Ghost spoke through Agabus, he was determined. He was not reluctant to suffer. He would not be persuaded in verse 14. He said, and so they said, the will of the Lord be done. And that is pretty good. I like what it says in the book of James, where people are talking about buying and selling, and this next year we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And James says, what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, we would do this or that. When I was in the Army, and we would go out in the field, and we'd have these exercises, and they would tell us exactly where to go. And they wouldn't never necessarily tell us how to get there, but here's where you need to go. And we'd get the map out, and we'd look at it, and we'd try to pick a route, and we'd get our fellows to that place. And when we got there, we'd tell them, okay, we're here. And we knew when we got there, we were supposed to set up a perimeter or defensive position or whatever. And we didn't know what was going to come next. They didn't necessarily know what was going to come next. But then after we got there, they'd say, okay, now you need to do this, or now you need to go there, or now you need to come back over here or whatever. And we were just ready for what was next. You think God's got some things next for us? Amen? I don't know what they are. If you'd have asked me 5 years ago, what do you expect the situation to be in 2022? Probably if I'd had any wisdom, I would have said, I have no idea. I could have hoped for some things. I could have thought this might happen, that might happen. I know a fellow right now who's planning on building he wants to build an auditorium. And he wants to build it right now. I think his auditorium probably seats about 175, maybe. He wants to build a 300-seat auditorium expandable to 600 seats. God built in Maryland an auditorium that would seat 360 and 40 in the choir loft. What a project. What a lot of work. What a lot of money. What a lot of effort. And I look at somebody saying, I'm going to build a 300-seat auditorium, and I think, wow, that's big. But if the Lord's in it, it's not a problem. Amen? I have not felt like the Lord's leading us to build a 300-seat auditorium. But I do think the Lord wants us to stay here and reach this neighborhood and to reach this community and to be the disciples that we need to be for other folks like our missionaries, and to be faithful and to worship God and to go soul winning and to work with our teenagers. And folks, there are people in this neighborhood that need us. And I hope all of us are willing to say, I'll stay put until God moves me. And when he moves me, I'll go where he wants me to go. And that's kind of what Paul's saying here. I know where God wants me to go. I'm headed there. I've got a burden for these folks. And I know I'm going to wind up in Rome. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. What if a lot of Christians were to say, I know God has a will for me and nothing's going to take that away from me? That'd be a great thing. I think there are sadly too many people, too many Christians that are saying, well, let's see if we can get through this week. I don't know what's going to happen next. And maybe God's going to bless and maybe he's not. And if he doesn't bless, then I don't know, I'll find something else or whatever. That's not the way Paul was working. Paul is saying, I know I'm in God's will and I've got a purpose. You're not going to talk me out of it. It doesn't matter what happens. Paul, we got bad news. They're going to arrest you in Jerusalem. It's okay, I'm going to Jerusalem. Paul, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. That's okay, even if I have to die, I'm going to Jerusalem. Shouldn't we have some resolve? And then when you have that resolve and you have that confidence, it's one luxury there is this. You haven't got to stop and ask yourself, what am I going to do next? Because you found God's will, you're just going to pursue God's will. There may be some little details that are unclear. We saw that. There may be some times when you need some disciples to comfort you. We saw that. But there ought to be a resolution. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. Amen? Let's wrap this up if we could and kind of think some concluding thoughts and we'll be done. So Paul had been sent to the Gentiles. We know that. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, the Lord said, go thy way. He's talking to Barnabas, I believe. He's a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles. In Acts 18:6, Paul says, when they blasphemed themselves, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. So God's going to get him to the Gentiles. In fact, he already has, because if you see things like Ephesus, he met with those elders at Miletus. That was mostly a Gentile church. A lot of Gentiles were reached along the way. The Jews would reject him and fight him and oppose him. And the Gentiles would say, we'll hear thee again of this matter. In fact, many of them believed. So Paul was accomplishing the purpose God gave him. But he did have that burden for the Jews. He says in Romans 9:3, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Just a thought there. Do we really have a burden for the lost like we should? Does it really grieve us that there are people dying and going to hell, and they're going to spend eternity there if they don't receive Christ, and they need to hear? And the first ones are right across the street here, and then the house next to that. And when you go out on Tuesday nights or on Saturday or Sunday afternoons or whenever Saturday mornings, whenever you go out, I hope we have a burden for the lost. And might need to preach about that more than I do. Because we should continually ask the Lord, Lord, give me that burden for souls. Paul had a burden for souls. He knew the gospel could save them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says in Romans. He says, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. He knew they could be saved. And he was burdened for them. He loved them. He grieved over their lost condition. He wanted to do what he could, even if he had to suffer or even die. He wanted to do what he could to reach those folks. Folks, let's ask God to give us a burden for souls. Amen? And, you know, you can do, just by being part of a church, that's a good start. Giving to missions, that's even better. Participating in ministries, that's good too. You know, going out and soul winning, that's great. Praying during the invitations at church, inviting people to church, handing out tracts. Keep tracts in your pocket and hand them out. And make it a point, just like Paul had a point, a determination. I care about souls and I want to reach these folks. And that's ultimately was his life, was reaching those folks. Was he right to go to Jerusalem? Again, I think so. I think that God used it, whether it was actually perfectly within God's plan or not, God used it. And that's the last thought I'll have, and we'll be done. Isn't it kind of great to think that when you and I maybe get off track a little bit, maybe, for example, Paul should have been going west instead of east. If we really, and I'm exaggerating there, if we want God's will in our life, he's got a way of correcting that, doesn't he? Amen? He'll get us back where we ought to be. I had a couple come visit with us looking to become staff members in our school in Maryland, probably 03, 2003, something like that, 2004 maybe. And they came, and two or three of our staff members said, you know, I don't think they're going to fit here. I don't think they're going to fit here. And I told them, I just don't have a place for you. And they went back home. And, of course, we'd prayed about it. And then just not too long after that, the Lord was very clearly spoke to me, and there's a place for these folks. They need to come here. And we brought them there. And there was a place for them, and they did a real good job. And my original decision was wrong, and God fixed it. God can do that. So even if you're off the track a little bit, ask the Lord. He can get you back on. And guess what, folks? Paul's going to see Rome. Nothing's going to stop that. No shipwreck, no violent crowd in Jerusalem, which he's going to face here a little later. No circumstance, no injury, no illness. He's going to see Rome. Have a promise, I hope you do, that you cling to in the Bible that's strong enough. I go back to Moses this morning in Sunday school. Moses probably wasn't listening quite as well as he should have been when God promised him, I'm going to get Israel out of Egypt. And have that promise to cling to when things get tough. And then just keep on going, amen? Let's all stand and pray.